Now, we're going to be in both the book of Romans this morning and also the book, and we're going to start with the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And verse number 6. I don't normally title my messages, and as I have been studying throughout the week, there's been a lot of different directions that my studying has gone. And so I don't know if this is, I think this is a good title for it. The First Four Commandments. Because that's what we're going to look at this morning, is the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. Now, the significance of this, before we look at that, is, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do a good job of kind of setting the table here, setting the stage, so to speak, for this, but I see, and I think you see as well, in this world, and it's always been the case from the time of the Garden of Eden, but there's been ups and downs. There's been times where, generally speaking, there were more people serving the Lord, as opposed to other times where there have been less people serving the Lord. And even if we bring it down to just a single country, let's say the United States, there's certainly been times in our country where there were more people serving the Lord, and then we see times where there were less people. And all this, that sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? It's pretty basic thoughts right there. Sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less. And that is the case. We see that that is the case. But when we look and we see the things that are going on, let's just take today, for example. We see what's going on today is the direction, generally speaking, that our country is going. And it's not good. I think everybody can agree it's not good. But why is that? Why is it that our country is going in the direction that it has been going? And why is it that we have so many that are supporting such theology or ideology as is being supported today that is causing the terrible things that are happening? I find it fascinating whenever I run across an atheist, by the way, and it's an old... I ran across one just yesterday, or Friday it was, and he told me, he said, just so you know, and this, I was knocking on newcomers, and this, when he answered the door, I introduced myself, told him who I was and what I was doing there. And he said, well, just so you know, I did just move here, but I lean more towards atheism. And I said, well, you know, I've come across many atheists over the years, and it just seems to me like one of the complaints or problems that atheists have is the problem of problems in this world. The problem of bad things that are happening in this world. The problem of evil. And he was agreeing with me. But then I pointed out to him, I said, but the reason for these things isn't because God made these things. That's what most atheists think. They look at it as God is creating these problems. And if God is really God, then why does he allow all these problems? When the answer is the problems are here because of sin.
Right.
Now, here's something interesting about what's going on in Kentucky. I was curious about it. I didn't know anything about it, really. I suppose I'd heard bits and pieces in the past 2 or 3 days. But yesterday, I saw that they made the news on Tucker Carlson, and he interviewed somebody from there, so I was curious about it. And I saw that there are some other things that it just kept popping up everywhere. And so then there was this link that popped up, the service that started it all. And so guess what I did? I listened to it. I was curious. What started it all? What's going on over there? And here's my take on that message. And it was actually the third part, part three of a three series message. And the part that I saw was just the third. And I guess it was three Wednesdays in a row, and on that third Wednesday is when when all this took place, when it began. But here's what I noticed in the message that was preached there is the theme was love. What is love? But that wasn't only the theme, but that was the main theme. And what the man was pointing out, I don't even know his name, but what he was pointing out is that the world has a wrong idea of what love is. And he talked about that a little bit. And I think he asked some questions every now and then. You think that you know love, you don't. You think you've been loved, you haven't. I'm putting in my own words. I don't remember exactly how he worded it. But he followed it all up, and he used the Sermon on the Mount a little bit. And I think it was a Sermon on the Mount, but where Jesus gives a list in, I think it was 13 verses and 13 commandments that were given. And he asked everybody, how many of you have kept all those commandments? How many of you like that? How do you feel about that? And the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ.
Right.
And the world does not really know what love is. And he followed all that up with, you cannot know love until you know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, so I don't know. Let me just say this. Whatever's going on over there, there's going to be some bad with it. And I'm not trying to preach up what's going on over there because I'm not there. I don't know it all. But I want to say this. If there are some people who are coming to know Christ as a result of this, I'm going to rejoice with them.
Amen.
But let me say this. I want us to have revival here in Del City. I want us to reach people. And this is something I think that could be a wake-up call for us, a sobering thought, in the fact that people do not really know what love is. They think they do, but they don't. And because of all this woke garbage, and yes, I did call it garbage, that's going on right now, people think that... I read the definition of that, I think it was last Sunday, the Sunday before. It was a long definition in the Webster's, but the dictionary.com. You can just look up the word woke. And they have a big old long definition there. But I'm just going to summarize it in my own words. The definition they're using means that they are now aware. They are awake. They are aware of the things that people have been trying to hide from them. You know, they're woke. And I'll give you an example. Even what some of the one of the points anyways that Brother Ballard was speaking about in Sunday school about the sons of God, you're right on target with that, by the way. The sons of God in the Bible are born-again believers.
Right, amen.
The angels are not the sons of God.
But
there is a movement that's been going around for 10, 15 years now that there's this secret meaning behind sons of God. And it's the angels that mated with the women. And now we have these half-breeds running around and you don't know who they are. No, that's a bunch of garbage. That's wokeness. Woke garbage is what that is. There are only two people that... There at the very beginning, Adam and Eve, God created Adam and both Adam and Eve, unlike He's created anybody else, and every single person in this world came from those two people.
Right.
Let's be aware of that. Let's be aware that no matter what color, language, nationality a person is, we all came from Adam and Eve.
Right.
Let's be woke that way.
Amen.
All this teaching that is going around of liberating. We need to be liberated. Liberated from what? They're not going to tell you this, but liberated from God's Word. That's what they mean. They need to be liberated. That's the message that they're giving. They don't want to put it that way. They bring it subtly, but they want to be liberated. The women's liberation movement. I don't even know how long that's been going around. But you know, you want to know something? Women that are living according to God's Word and that are patterning as best they can according to God's Word, no matter what position they have, listen, they're blessed.
Right.
And not only are they blessed, they are valuable.
Amen.
And here's, let me just tell you, I want to bring this into perspective with you. Those kind of women, godly women, are so valuable that even the woke crowd, those men who used to call themselves woke, I don't know if some of y'all paying attention, I can't help it with social media, this stuff pops up, that even those people who are not God-fearing people are tired of the woke garbage. Really? Because they realize that there is no value to a woman that doesn't at least understand some things. Let me tell you something, you women. You are valuable.
Amen.
The Bible says your price is above rubies. Don't ever let anybody make you think any different from that. The sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. And here's what Satan does. Satan tries to divide and conquer. Oh, who's the head of the house? Is he the head of you? Are you the head of him? Is she the head of you? I mean, you know what I'm talking about, all this stuff. But let me tell you something. If you have a marriage according to the Scriptures, you're both going in the same direction.
Amen.
The same direction. This is why it's so important, by the way, for you young men and you ladies in here. Marry someone that's going in the direction that God wants them to go in.
Amen.
And you'll be going in the same direction.
Amen.
Think of it like this. I'm not a big sports guy, but if we look at a sports team and you get on that team, and I'm not letting anybody tell me what to do. I'm my own boss. Right? And they start just doing whatever they want without being a team player. And marriage is being a team player. And the world's going to try to divide that. But don't let them. You are valuable. Your position is valuable. And you yourself are valuable. And don't let anybody take anything away from that. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 6 says here, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't ask you to stand. If y'all will stand for the reading, let me read these two verses, and I'll let you sit back down. Verses 6 and 7. God is speaking here. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of bondage, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And here's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your grace and your love. And I pray, Lord, that you will draw us closer to you as we draw close to you. Lord, I pray that you will use us, Lord, to be a blessing to one another. You told your disciples when you were here in the flesh, a new commandment I give, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And Lord, I pray that you do help us to love one another as you loved your disciples, the example that you gave. Use us to be a blessing and use us to reach lost souls for you. We thank you so much for your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you know what the first four commandments have in common? Really, I guess you could say all of them do, but what's a little bit different from these first four commandments is they all have to do directly, they all directly have to do with our relationship with God. You go past the four command, those first four. Number five, for example, is honor thy father and thy mother. Number six is thou shalt not kill. Number seven is neither shalt thou commit adultery. Number eight is neither shalt thou steal. Number nine, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Number ten, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. And it goes on and gives another list of things that we shouldn't covet. So we see all of those have to do with how we treat one another. And by the way, Jesus also said when he was talking about the great commandments, that you remember he was asked, what are the great commandments? And he quoted these first here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And then he said, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he said, on those two hang all the law and the prophets. So when we look at these commandments, these are things that are for our benefit. In other words, what Jesus was saying, when we are keeping all of these commandments, then we are loving our neighbor as we ought to.
Amen.
Now, this goes back to that issue of love. The world really doesn't know what love is. I'm not just saying that to be facetious. I'm saying they really do not know what love is. They think that love is whatever makes them feel good.
Right.
But let me tell you something. Sometimes love doesn't bring the best feelings. I'm being honest with you. And let me give you an example. I was laughing a little bit because sometimes it could be something that's not so, just being ill-treated. But what about when someone you know is physically hurt? There's love there, but it's not necessarily the best feeling. Right? Somebody you love is physically hurt. Maybe in a car wreck or something like that. Love is not just some good feeling. Love is more than that. In fact, the Bible says God is love. We cannot really understand and know love without God.
Amen.
Now, those of us that have been born again, and we are learning love. We are learning to love one another. We are fighting against our flesh to please the Lord, and we love doing it. We enjoy doing it. And of course, there's no doubt Jesus warned there will be persecutions. We see that. There will be tribulations. We see that. But the world does not understand love. These commandments here are all about love. You ever realize that? I know you have. But these commandments, every one of them, are all about love. Let's just go from the bottom up. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. And it goes on and gives a list here of his house or his cattle or this or anything. Those kind of desires lead to other things. And we shouldn't... We don't have good feelings from that either, by the way. If all we are doing is wanting what we don't have all the time. There's nothing good comes from that. What about the other one? Neither shalt thou bear false witness. So both of those, and on we can go. People we love, we don't do these things to. What is the next one? Thou shalt not kill. We don't kill people we love. Right? I mean, this is really just basic stuff. Thou shalt not steal. We don't steal from people we love. In the fifth commandment, in verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother. When we love our parents, then we show some honor to them. Now, what about these first? Number one, again, is thou shalt have none other gods before me. This woke stuff, that's a name they put on it, by the way. I didn't make that up. This is the name they put on it. Listen. This is their religion.
Right.
I'm serious. You think about this. This woke ideology, this is their answer against God's Word. They have a better way. They're aware. They're woke. They think they know more than God does. What about the next one? I closed my Bible and lost my place. Give me a second here to turn back to it. Verse number 8, we see commandment number 2. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not make any graven image. This Green New Deal, that's what this is. Now, this counter religion, this trying to replace God's Word, you know, we know who's behind it. And there's so many different aspects to it. Evolution is part of their religion. This Green New Deal is a huge part of their religion. This is them making these graven images, worshiping the earth and the environment.
Right.
Let me tell you something. God is in control of this earth, of the weather, and then whatever, everything here. He is in control.
Right.
There's a day coming where this earth is going to burn. But it's not, I don't know, it is going to be because of sin. But it's not going to be because we didn't pass the Green New Deal. In the book of Genesis, it tells us that summer and winter and springtime and harvest, and I don't remember exactly all the wording, but it says, shall not cease.
Amen.
Until God's ready for it to cease. Now, we have different seasons, and sometimes, you know, it's colder. We have record cold seasons and record hot seasons, and we look back at all the records, and we can see where, looking at the same time of year, oh, wow, one year was really cold on this month, on this day, and the other, one year is really warm. And that's always been and always will be. But our God is still in control. Amen. He is still in control. These first two commandments, this is something that people don't realize until it's pointed out to them. And sometimes maybe we forget about this and we need to be reminded. But when we're trying to witness to somebody and somebody says something like, well, I just don't think that God would, and then fill in the blank. They're breaking both of these commandments.
Right.
They are making up their own God. The God who created you and I has given us His Word. So we don't have to guess about the things that He's told us that are very clear. We don't have to guess about how a person makes it to heaven or doesn't and goes to hell. In order for a person to go to heaven, they have to recognize God as God. They've got to recognize their sin as sin. They've got to recognize the Holy One as who He is. And I'm purposely trying to use a lot of different phrases that the Bible uses, not to confuse you, but to help you understand that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Holy One. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. He is the Christ.
Amen.
He took upon Himself human flesh to die in our place, because all of these things that we're mentioning right here, we've already broken. We're guilty. Heaven is going to be a place without all these problems in the world that are caused by sin. Isn't that going to be a wonderful place? When I try to remind myself of this, when I speak to an atheist and he brings something like this up, and I want to remind him and say, but in heaven, there's not going to be any sin that causes all these problems. By the way, don't ever argue with an atheist over whether or not there is a heaven or a hell. Just speak in your conversation with the assumption that there is, because there is.
Right.
And you'll be surprised to find out He'll follow suit in that conversation, even though He disagrees with you. And
Amen.
Let the Lord speak to his heart.
Amen.
Because they're mad at God when they should be mad at sin. They're mad at God when they should be mad at Satan. They're mad at God when they should be mad at themselves for allowing Satan to get them to do the things that brings problems into their lives. The third commandment in verse 11 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So we see these first three, and we're going to see with the fourth one also. These are direct commandments that directly affect our worship with the Lord. These first four commandments. Why? Why would a person take the name of the Lord our God in vain? Why would they take God's name in vain? The Creator of this world. Such disrespect. Not only such disrespect to the Lord Himself, but such disrespect to His people, any born-again believer. Such disrespect if it's done in the presence of children and women, but men also. But we can, especially women and children, and someone just comes by and starts using all kinds of foul language and taking the name of the Lord in vain. Do people not have any respect anymore? Without God, they don't. Without God, we see the direction they go. Without God in their thoughts, without God in their life, everything is all about themselves. Self-centered, just selfish altogether, and prideful. And then the fourth commandment. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Now, this is one, I'll be honest with you, has kind of had me just not recently, but throughout my life, a little bit puzzled by, but I'm not anymore. And I don't know if I'm going to share with you, if I have all of the material that I've in my research on this, but I'm going to share some things with you on the Sabbath day. But let me just say this. There are 10 commandments, not 9.
Right.
The fourth commandment here, to keep the Sabbath day, to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, is still in effect today. Now, here's some things I want to point out to you concerning that. And let me bring up some of my notes here. Give me just a second, because I got to find them again. But the word Sabbath, while I'm looking for my notes, it does not mean Saturday. And I don't know, would y'all like me to screen mirror my phone? Does it help y'all when I do that? Let me screen mirror my phone and y'all can look with me. Okay. It doesn't mean Saturday. It doesn't mean seventh. The Sabbath. Today, the Sabbath is on the first day of the week. It's the Lord's Day. My notes are pretty crude right now. I didn't. Resting on the Lord's Day. I'm just reading some of my own notes I put in here. But resting on the Lord's Day is still resting every seventh day. The definition, if we look at the word Sabbath, let me just do this, bring it back over here so you can see where I'm getting this. So if we look at the Hebrew word for Sabbath, it's intensive. It means intermission. Notice there's no meaning of Saturday or seventh, or seven rather. It was a Saturday or the seventh day of the week, but it's not today. Today's the first day of the week. But the word Sabbath itself does not mean Saturday or seven. Now, let's look at this other one here. A primitive root to repose, that is, and I know this is kind of boring technical stuff here, but just bear with me for a moment. Used in many implied relations, causatively, figuratively, or specifically, cause to let, to make, to cease, to celebrate, to cause, to make, to fail, to keep, Sabbath, suffer, that is allow, to be lacking, leave, put away, down, make, rest, rid, steal, take away. It has 71 occurrences in the Hebrew language. And here's how it's translated into English. Cease 37 times. rest seven times, ceased six times, ceaseth four times, rested four times, fail, put, steal, away, celebrate, down, kept, lacking, left. And y'all can see the odors there. The point, though, is that the word itself does not mean seven. It doesn't mean Saturday. It means a day of rest, a day to cease from your weekly routine and to honor the Lord on that day. Now, there are more Sabbaths than just the seventh day, by the way. There were many others. When Jesus was on the cross, for example, there were at least two. Some and I haven't done the study myself, but what is it? Some say that every day that he was in the... Is it three Sabbaths that some people say? I forget what it is. But I know that there's at least two, because one is specifically called a high Sabbath, and that was before Saturday. And then the Saturday rolled around. So anyways, but it means to cease from your daily routine and weekly routine for rest and to honor the Lord. Okay? For rest and to honor the Lord. So, looking back in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 12, verse 5, I mean, and verse 12, says, "Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee." Excuse me. Now, give me just a second here. I have another note, if I can find it. You know, it may be in Corinthians. So Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And it goes on and talks about this. But what is this talking about? What we see in the New Testament is from the moment that Jesus rose from the grave, when they gathered together as a church, this doesn't mean that they didn't go out and preach the gospel on other days, but when they gathered specifically as a church, it was on the first day of the week. So here's a couple of verses to look at. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come." Well, that the Sabbath being on Saturday, which would be the seventh day in the week from the creation of the world, was a shadow of things to come. Jesus fulfilled all the law. And what we see in the New Testament scriptures is that from that moment on, they worshiped on the first day of the week. And when we honor the Sabbath on the first, it's still every 7 days, although it is now on the Lord's day.
Amen.
And I don't know, you can take with that whatever you want, but that's where I stand on it. I believe there are still 10 commandments, and that we are still to honor the Sabbath day, and we're not done with the Sabbath. We got just a little bit more, a few more verses here to look at. But Jesus himself said in Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So we see that Jesus fulfilled the law. The day of rest hasn't been destroyed. In Exodus 31:12-13, says here, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths," notice that's plural, "ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord, that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you." Now, back in our text again, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, one more time, "Keep the Sabbath day." And what does it say? To sanctify it. We are to keep the Lord's day, the Sabbath day, to sanctify it as the Lord thy God had commanded thee. Now, what are we doing that for? By the way, can we say that it's both Saturday now and Sunday? Well, the next verse says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, not five. So the point with this is, and this isn't necessarily saying that 6 days of the week you have to do the same work that you do all week long. It's just saying that one day out of the week, you are to cease from your work and rest. and sanctify that day for the Lord. Sanctify means to be set aside.
Amen.
I like to use the example of our baptistry here behind me. We have the baptistry, and it's been sanctified. It's been set aside for a holy purpose of baptizing born-again believers. We don't use it as a hot tub. It's been sanctified, right? The Sabbath day has been sanctified. It is set aside for a holy purpose. And he says here, remember, I want to get to verse 15 on this, really, but let's go ahead and read verses 13 through 14. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservants and thy maidservants may rest as well as thou. And I just want to make a quick note. This doesn't mean, as some people take it, to such extremes that you can't even push the button in an elevator on the Sabbath day. Now, I don't believe that that's what this is talking about. But y'all do know that some people go to that extreme.
Right.
In some places where there are a lot of people, those who call themselves Jews today, that are still trying to live according to all of the Old Testament ceremony, which I believe the Old Testament law is still in effect even for us. It's just the ceremonial law that's not. If you're going to throw out things, all of the Old Testament, just simply because it's Old Testament, unless it's in the New Testament, you're not going to abide by it. Then there's things that are grave sins that aren't mentioned in the New Testament, that are mentioned in the Old Testament, that people will begin to justify because it's not found in the New Testament. And they're grave sins to the extent that I'm not going to mention what they are this morning. But you can read through the book of Deuteronomy, I think, and Leviticus, if you're interested, and see what they are. I'll just name one. One of them has to do with kidnapping, men stealing, human trafficking, as it's called today. Are they woke people too? I think maybe it is, to be honest with you. There are people in high places who are involved in human trafficking.
Right.
Are we going to allow that to continue as a nation? Our politicians are. Not all of them, I know. We got one over there. Of course, he's not in federal politics, but... But we have politicians in high places that are allowing it. A lot of the things that's going on in this country that is trying to silence those who aren't woke. Y'all see it. Y'all know what's going on. The Bible is the truth.
Right. Amen.
God is truth. If we really want to be woke, get in the Bible. And I'm using that word in a real way, to be awake.
Amen.
You know, to be aware of what the truth really is. But verse 15, listen to this on the Sabbath. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. And that thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Oh, I may have skipped a line there. Let me reread that. And that the Lord thy God brought thee out of thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath. Now that verse 15 starts with, and remember. Remember what? That thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. Y'all realize Egypt is an allegory for sin. And that before a person comes to know Christ, they are a servant to sin.
Right.
What did Jesus say? Something about the truth. I forget the first part of how it goes. But the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
The truth. Not wokeness. The truth. We want to put an end One of these days, Jesus is going to come back. And He is going to put an end to all this stuff. He is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron, the Bible tells us. And maybe not exactly in those words. But if we want to be used in such a way to love our neighbor, then let's be aware of the truth that we find in the Word of God. That's what we need. We need to be in the Word. We need to be feeding on the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. You know why? Because He loves you. You don't think that what He did on the cross was by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm?
Amen.
And then the last part of that, therefore, in other words, this is the reason why the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath day. It is a day that we can use for the world to see that there is a God.
Amen.
Because we're worshiping the Lord on the Sabbath day. Sunday. We call it the Lord's Day.
Right.
The first day of the week. The world can see that. Don't let them steal that from you. Do not let the world steal the Sabbath from you. This is a day that we are to set every... It is set aside for us. We are set all everything of our just regular life aside to rest and worship the Lord. My wife was reading, I forget the name of that book, a devotional something by C.H. Spurgeon. Brother Chambers, by the way. Your dad. All those books that y'all gave us. I'm telling you. There's some awesome books in there. And I think it's going to take a lifetime to read them all. But every now and then we get them and we go through them. My wife's going through one by C.H. Spurgeon right now. Originally written way in the 1800s, if I remember correctly, with this, of C.H. Spurgeon's life. But reprinted in 1949, I think, is what we saw on the cover of that. But he was just talking, she shared this particular passage with me. I think she even shared it on Facebook, so yeah, you can go and see her post on that. But he was just talking about how little we are to be and see ourselves in comparison to God. How little we are. And as we read the Scriptures and want to get close to God, listen, we need to keep that in mind. To be puffed up as we see a lot of this woke people are is just totally out of line. It is so detrimental, not only to themselves, maybe I should say not only to our country, but also to themselves. And they don't even realize it. Now, I wanted to read some things out of Romans, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this in a timely manner. If I can't, then I'll save it for another time. But I want to read a few verses anyways. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I think I've got it here as well. I'll put it up on the screen. The colors that I put on here don't necessarily mean anything except that I wanted to recognize these different parts. So don't think that I put any special meaning on the color itself. But Romans 1 and verse number 20. Excuse me. It says here, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." By the way, let me just emphasize that. Those who reject Christ and continue down the path of wickedness, they are without excuse. They are. Now, it's not my place, nor your place. I do believe it's government's place to enforce the law, to be a terror to evildoers, but as individuals and as a church, it's not our place to do that. But let me tell you something, they are without excuse. And if they die without Christ, they will pay for it. But the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've got to understand that they God does love people. And if only they will humble themselves and repent and let God be their Savior. So in verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, and here's what we're looking at. We're looking at the reason why we see that this our country, in fact, going in the direction it is, this woke movement. Here's the reason behind it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. We see that. They certainly don't glorify God. They might show some thankfulness here and there concerning some things, but generally speaking, when we look at the big mobs out destroying property that is not theirs, we don't see any thankfulness in that. Right? Now, but became vain in their imaginations. Here we see going against the first commandment there. Have no other gods before me. They became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Boy, they're woke. They are so woke that they became vain and their foolish heart has been darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I really don't think a lot of them realize how foolish they look.
Yeah.
We see it though, don't we? I think most people see it. And changed the glory of the corruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. You know, the Bible tells us that we are made in the image of God. And I believe that it's easier to understand that when we think of Adam and Eve without sin. They were made in the image of God. We are a corrupt image. But what the world wants to do, what Satan wants to do, is he wants to glorify and honor, and he wants the world to glorify and honor themselves, the creature, more than the Creator, to do whatever they want to do. Now, as it gets worse and worse, more and more people following that ideology, the consequences become more and more apparent. Sin has consequences. It doesn't matter how big or small, all sin have consequences. But when we get into all these things, we see the consequences. We see the destruction that it is causing. If we go back up to verse number 16, as Paul was delivering this message there, as we read about it in Romans chapter 1, he always delivers the gospel. And he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel of Christ. Isn't it funny? And I'm closing with this, by the way. But isn't it funny how many of these ideas where they put out these slogans that really mean the exact opposite of what they are? I've named some of them for you before, and I'm not going to try to give a whole list to you. But the woke thing, you know what the Bible says about someone who comes to know Christ? That they've been illuminated.
Amen.
They see the truth. God's way is the best way.
Amen.
All this stuff that's being promoted, it's wickedness and it's destructive. It drives a wedge not only between them and God, but it also drives a wedge between the relationships that are right there in their own family, friends and family. Even amongst those, if just looking at the atheistic crowd themselves, sin still drives a wedge between them.
Right.
And that's what sin does. It enslaves. But God, who is rich in mercy, the Bible tells us. But the gift of God. You see, the message is what God wants people to see, and He uses His Word and you and I and the Holy Spirit, but He wants people to see that they are dead in their sins.
Amen.
But He loves them. And His invitation is just simply, let me be your Savior. But they've got to recognize Him as Lord. They've got to recognize Him as God. I'm not saying they have to clean their life up. But what I'm saying is, they can't say, okay, Lord, save me, but don't expect me to live for you in any way. Don't expect me to change my life in any way. No, when a person gets saved, that change is going to take place. Let me just say it this way. They're going to have a desire because they're going to see the destruction of their sin. They're going to be heartbroken over their sin. And if they're yielding to the Holy Spirit, they'll let Jesus be their Savior. Let's all stand so we have a song. You all know I use John 3:16, and I probably always will. The heart of the Bible, as many call it. For God so loved the world. It's not desire. It's not God's desire just simply to punish people. Listen, the consequences of sin is a punishment enough. But God's desire is for people to come to know Christ and to be saved from the consequences of their sin.